Let's learn. Parshas Pekudei, 530, page 530, the last Parsha in Sefer Shmos, and the last of 5 weeks of the building of the Mishkan. So we are going to come to a conclusion as far as that goes. Let's learn a little bit about that. What I want to focus on this afternoon with you is a single pasuk, which is problematic on a very simple level as to who actually made, built, constructed this Mishkan. For 5 weeks we're talking about, 3 weeks we spoke about Hashem speaking to Moshe about how to build it, and then Moshe conveys to the people, both in last week's Parsha Vayakel, this week's Parsha Pekudei, Moshe says to them, this is how we're going to do it. Who actually does it, and how is that described in the pasuk? Now, the simple starting point of our discussion is we can start from our parsha, which is on page 530. The parsha begins with the Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, the reckonings, the countings of all of the elements that went into the Mishkan. And then the pasuk goes right into it by saying, how was this done? It was with Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor LaMateh Yehuda, in Pasuk Chafes 22. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chor, from Mateh Yehuda, Asa, Eis Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. He made, Bezalel, all that was asked of him, all that Hashem commanded through Moshe, he did. And who was with Bezalel? Next Pasuk. Aholiav ben Achisamach, Lamate Dan. So Shevet Yehuda is represented through Bezalel, and then Mate Dan, the tribe of Dan, is represented through Aholiav, who joined him. And we also find the language of Kol Chachme Lev. There were these craftsmen, the wise-hearted men, who were the actual artisans and craftsmen who did this. And we find them, if you want to just take a quick look, I could just show you a pasuk or two where we see them being listed. If you flip back to Parshas Vayakel, on page 520, in chapter Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Ches 36:8, Vayasu Kol Chacham Lev Ba'osei HaMelacha Es HaMishkan, and all the wise-hearted among those doing the work, they made the Mishkan, and the pasuk lists all the things that we did, so that the.
And the decorations.
Excellent. A separate question is, why do we have 5 weeks, five whole parshiyos describing Hashem commanding Moshe, Moshe commanding the people, and each time with a great, it's an excellent question. That is the question that's always addressed, and I'm not going to give you a good answer today. It's a set. We'll have to, one day we'll have to talk about that. Like, why so much detail? It is an important question, but not for today. Not for that. I mean, on a simple level, we see the significance that the Torah attributes to all of that, but there's more than that, and we'll, Mirtz Hashem, another time have a chance to get into that. But if we were to ask, who made the Mishkan? Who actually did this? The Torah describes a number of times listing Bezalel. He's described several times in these 5 weeks as the person who's going to be in charge, is going to be the foreman. Aholiav is his right-hand man. And then there were this group of Chachmei Lev, this group of wise-hearted artisans and craftsmen who were going to actually do all of the things that are necessary to do. And then the Torah describes, Vayasu, 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 and they made, and they made, and they made, and they did. All of last week's parasha was describing the building of the actual tabernacle itself, the menorah, and the mizbeach, and the shulchan, and all the vessels of the Mishkan. In this week's parasha, we have all of the clothing for the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, and all of his fellow Kohanim. And that's described, if you just look at the headlines in the art scroll on the left-hand side of your page, beginning, let's say, 532, you could just describe how we made the ephod and the breastplate, Vayasu Asavnei HaShoham, Vayasu Asachoshen, Vayasu Asa'ephod, Vayas Asmi'il, they made the robe. The Torah goes through, they made each one of the garments that were necessary for the Kohanim and for the Kohen Gadol. Everything was made by that who we listed in the beginning of our parasha, Bezalel, and Aholiav, his right-hand man, and together with all the people, the Chachmei Lev. That brings us to our pasuk on page 534, at the end of all of the making, at the end of all of the constructing, we get to Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32, in Perek Lamed Tes, Vateichel Kol Avodas Mishkan Oel Moed. They completed it. Vatechal from the language Vayachulu, like we say the parallel language Vayachulu Hashemayim Vaharetz Vatechal, and they completed all of the work of the Mishkan and the Ohel Moheh, the tent of meeting, Vayasu Bnei Yisrael Kechol Asher Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe Kein Asu. The children of Israel had done everything that Hashem commanded Moshe, so indeed did they do. If you were to only have read this last pasuk that we just read, pasuk lamed beis, vatechol kol avodas minomer, vayasu, who did it? Bnei Yisrael did. Wait one minute. Bnei Yisrael didn't make the Mishkan.
They represented.
Okay, you're giving an answer.
Oh, okay.
You're giving an answer. The pasuk says, "Vayasu bnei Yisrael kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe kein asu." And bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, did exactly as they were required or instructed to do. Al pi Hashem, they did. We would ask a simple question, which you have a simple answer for. We'll get to. It's not true. Bnei Yisrael didn't do this. This was done by Bezalel, Aholiyav, and the Choch Melev. They were the ones that did it. So let's start with the first answer, which is exactly your answer. Let's start with Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim was a great Kabbalist, Moroccan leader who moved to Yerushalayim and opened up a yeshiva there. Wrote a very famous commentary that's printed in all the standard Chumashim, combining Kabbalah and Gemaras into his understanding of the Psukim. So he opens up with a very technical, legalistic explanation for this pasuk. How could the Torah say that Bnei Yisrael did it when they didn't? He writes, Hagam shelo asu elo Bezalel v'choch melev. Even though this was only really done by Bezalel, shlucho shel adam kimo. So there's a halachic principle that the agent of a person, my shaliach, has the same status as the person who sent him himself. When a father brings his 8-day-old baby for a bris, he hands the baby over to the moel. And the moel always, I'm always standing up there, says, do you make me my your shaliach? Do you appoint me to be your agent? Because really, this is your mitzvah. So he says to the father, some moels have a little bit more of a sense of humor up there. They say, would you like to do this yourself? And the father says, no thanks, you're here to do this for me. And so now the moel does the actual act. Who gets credits for doing this mitzvah? Father has fulfilled his mitzvah of bringing his son into the covenant of Avram Avinu, because the shliach, an agent, fills the same thing as a person. And we do this many, many, many times in halacha, in which we appoint an agent to fulfill something for us. Says the Or HaChaim, pasuk is not so troubling, don't worry, even though it seems like the pasuk is implying that the Jewish people did it, they sort of did, because Bezalel and Aholiyav and all the Chachmelev were their agents representing them in building the Mishkan. Very simple, legalistic explanation, and no problem. So far, so good. Great. I'd like to share two other approaches, one by the Or HaChaim himself and one by the Sforno, as far as what comes out of this simple pasuk that Bnei Yisrael did all of this, when many, many times the Torah did not describe it that exact way. The Sforno, who lived even earlier, lived in the 1600s, early 1500s, excuse me, in Italy. He was not a Kabbalist to the best of my knowledge. He gives much more of just of a pshat-based understanding of the psukim, writes, what does it mean, vayasu b'nei Yisrael, that the Jewish people did hapu'ula kula al shleimusa, the entire action, the activity of building the Mishkan in its entirety was done al yedei kol Yisrael. Yeah, how was this constructed? You want to know who hammered it in? Okay, I can answer that question. You want to know who's responsible for the fact that this was built? Bnei Yisrael was responsible for the fact that it was built. Ki kitzasam hisnadvu mamon. Some of them contributed money, some contributed materials, and some actually did the work. So says the Sforno, a beautiful idea. At the end of the construction, after the last of the items have been made and built and put into place, well, not quite put into place, we're going to see that a few people come later, but when everything has been done, the Torah says, who did this? So it says, Bnei Yisrael did this. You know, it's when a building is a new school, a new shul, whatever it may be, you say, who built this? Ah, the community built this. Mm-hmm. Say, wait a minute, the community got their hands dirty, they laid the bricks, and they... No, of course not. Right. They're the ones responsible for making it happen. Some of them did fundraising, some of them actually paid, some of them organized, some of them oversaw. And, you know, we went into... And all of that is included in... Who made it? who made it. So Bnei Yisrael gets credit at the end. Vatechal, the pasuk that describes this was completed, Bnei Yisrael did it. Not just because Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso, that Bezalel was my agent. I did it myself. I paid my pledge, right? I paid. I did it. And all of the Jewish people who gave and contributed. So yes, this pasuk is absolutely accurate when it says that the Jewish people made and did it as Hashem had commanded them, because they were all involved in the actual construction of it, which is a beautiful way of looking at a community-wide project. Every role that every person has is considered part of getting the job done, and everyone gets credit for doing it. This idea that we're all part of it, and that we all had a hand and are considered as if we did it, the Or HaChaim, in his second comment, expands upon this idea. Expands upon it in a very beautiful way. It says this, what the pasuk is trying to teach us by describing that we all did it, is teaching us that the Torah is mechaberes haklolos b'kiyum haTorah, that we are all interconnected in the fulfillment of Torah. The Torah is showing us with this that all of Bnei Yisrael yizku zeh lazeh, that we all give merit one to another, and the Torah is nasana lehizkayim b'klolos Yisrael. The Torah can only be fulfilled through the entirety of all of the Jewish people. Kol echad yaseh hayecholah shebiyado. Each person does what they can do. Each person contributes what they are able to contribute, and each one will then bring up the other through their contribution. He explains. In this we see nachas ruach ki Hashem tziva tayyag mitzvos. Hashem commanded us in 613 mitzvos. Well, if anybody would actually try to set out and say, you know, this year, a person would sit on Rosh Hashanah and say, I'm going to be a good Jew this year. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do 613 mitzvahs. So, you know what we'd say to such a person?
Impossible.
Say, good luck. Impossible. You can't. And it's not because we don't believe in you. It's because it's not set up that any one person can possibly fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah for a very simple reason. He writes, there are Kohanim, there are Levim, Yisraelim, there are men, there are women. There's no one person alive, whoever was alive, who would have an ability to fulfill it all. They don't apply to every single person. If you're a Kohen, if you're not a Kohen Gadol, if you're a regular Jew, a man, everyone has their own mitzvahs.
So why 613?
Why that number, or why?
No, why? If you can't do
them all,
why?
So that's exactly what he's describing. Yes, mitzvahs asei b'kohanim. Some are specifically for the Kohanim. Yes, mitzvahs liyisraelim. Uma mitzius yesh liyochid lekaimom lahashlim tikun l'ramochei vorov. How can one person fulfill all of these? Elavadai shiteskayim haTorah b'mechaberes haklolos. Only through the Jewish people as a whole. And that the nature of the way in which Torah was given to the Jewish people is, when Hashem says this so many times, "Ushmartem esamid," to keep this Torah, keep this law, fulfill that. This law, as a whole, all 613, can only be done as a group, can be done with a partnership of all of Klal Yisrael together. And he suggests, maybe this is the hint in the mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha. Love your friend Kamocha, like yourself. He writes, Letzad Shehu Kamocha, that you see him, that he is literally like you. Ki Bishlumo Yitov Lach. Through his wholeness or completion, you benefit. Uve Emtziuso, and through him, you complete yourself. The imkain eno acher, don't see him as someone else. There's another out there, I have to love him, I have to do good to him. As long as you see him as the acher, as the other, as someone external, separate, so as long as you view him like that, it's pretty hard to love him like yourself. But if you would see him as yourself, kamocha, ela ke'atzmocha u ke'echon meichel kach, like a part of yourself, Literally, the example that's all thing is your right hand and your left hand. There's no competition between the right hand and the left hand, or between, even you want to go beyond a person's body. If you really view a team that functions well as a team, they understand that they can only succeed as a team, and that each one has a different role, and that the success of one is the success of all of them. And that if one person fails, it's not, ha-ha, I'm better. We all failed if that person fails. And the hint, the remiss to this idea, to the concept of Torah as a whole being everybody's job together to fulfill, is hinted at in the completion of the Mishkan, the centrality of the service to Hashem, building a home, at this point a temporary, but what would become, of course, a permanent home, that at the end, even though it was physically done by some, it was contributed to by others. And when the Torah says the work is completed, the language that the Torah uses specifically at that moment is Vayasu b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziv Hashem. The entire people did exactly what was necessary, because this itself, the Mishkan, more than anything else, needs to be viewed as this is ours. It's all. It's not his or that one's or this group's. We together did this, and in order to constantly inculcate us with that value, so the Torah hints at that in the specific moment in the building of the Mishkan, or the completion of the construction of the Mishkan, by saying that we all did it together. So we have on the simplest pshat level, shlucho shel adam. There's like, we're a shliach. We appointed Bezalel to do it, so we got credit. Or we can say that we all contributed. We all did our part. And as the Or Chaim fleshes that idea out, it's not just that we all, but all of Torah is that way. And that every Jew always has to see him or herself as part of that whole. Every person does what they can do, contributes what they can contribute. And then as a whole, we're able to do that which we need to do. And there isn't ever any one person who has the ability to say, this is mine, this is yours, I could do this on my own. You can't. You can't, we can't, and therefore we're all together. And that's hinted at in this particular pasuk describing that we all made the Mishkan.
If only that was the case now, that everybody, all the Jewish people.
We've been struggling for 2,000 years, we've been struggling with this.
So on the next page, they reinforce that, on the next page.
Okay.
Oh. First Mem Bet 42 on the next page, 536 or 37.
Yeah,
this
same idea.
It's like the same idea, but it's even more detailed.
Yeah, Kekol Asher Zivashem Moshe, Kenos Kol Avodah. They did all the work.
Like,
okay, now what I want to do is I want to highlight this idea with a totally separate, independent comment that Rav Hirsch makes at the end of the parasha, which I think really dovetails beautifully with this Or HaChaim. This comment from his name is Rav Chaim Attar or Atali. I blanked on his name. Who wrote the commentary for the Or HaChaim, Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon, who lived much later, died in the late 1899, on a totally separate topic that I think really works beautifully with that. Let's go to the very end of our parsha. So we completed the entire process. Everything has been brought to Moshe, and then the Torah describes that it was erected. You see on Pasuk Yud Zayin on page 538. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, it was B'chodesh HaRishon B'Shana HaShenis, on the first month, on the first day of the month of the second year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hukam HaMishkan, the tabernacle was erected, and the Torah describes, V'yakam Moshe HaMishkan, and he placed the Adonav, Eskrashav, Berichav, Amudav, and he erected he placed down the sockets and the planks and the bars and the pillars, and he put the tent, and then the Torah goes through how he took all the things that had been completed, and now he basically is setting them all up and putting them together, so that he took the Eidus El Ha'aron, he placed the Luchos into the Aron, and he placed the staves into the poles into the Aron, and he placed the Kapores with the cover of the Ark with the Kruvim on top of the Aron, and he brought it into the Mishkan, and he placed the curtains and the Shulchan and the Menorah, and in verse 26, Chavav, the Mizbeach HaZahav, went through the entire process. They set up the laver in which they would wash their hands and their feet on the bottom of the page. and they would come whenever they would come to the tent of meeting, and that's what they would do. And then we get to the as we conclude on Pasuk Lamed Gimel on page 540 now. Vayakam Eschatzer Saviv LeMishkan VeLaMizbeach. They put the courtyard and the curtain of the gate of the courtyard. Vayachal Moshe Esham Nelachal. And finally, take a deep breath as we get to the end of 5 weeks again of Parshios and all of the detail. Everything has been made. Moshe puts it all together. And then the language again, Vayechal Moshe Esam Nelacha. Finally, Moshe has now completed. We get to the final paragraph of all of Sefer Shmos. Vayechas He'anon Es Ohel Moed. And the cloud covered the Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed, which Moshe had just been in previously, setting everything up in. The Ohel Moed is referred to the inner chamber, the inner tent of the Mishkan, where he had been setting everything up, and now that everything is done, the cloud comes and covers the Ohel Moed, uchvod Hashem aleis haMishkan, and the honor of Hashem, the glory of Hashem, the presence of Hashem, now comes and fills the Mishkan. Velo yachol Moshe lavo el Ohel Moed, ki shachan alav he'anan. And Moshe, who had just been in the Ohel Moed, that's where he was. I read it through very quickly. But that's where Moshe has been. We placed the Aro. He needed to be there to take care of everything. That's where. How do you put the Ark in there if you don't go in? See, he went in and he placed the curtains and he worked his way back out. But now that he's done, the Torah says he's not allowed to go back in. Because Kishachan Alav He'anan Uchvod Hashem Aleis HaMishkan. The pasuk literally repeats itself. The first pasuk in 34 Lamed Dalet says, now that it was done, the cloud rested upon the Ohel Moed, and Hashem's glory filled it. And then the pasuk says, and now Moshe can't go in, because Kishachan Alav He'anan Uchvod Hashem Aleis HaMishkan, because the cloud of Hashem has arrived, and the presence of Hashem has filled the Mishkan. So even though he was in there before, but now it's a different story. Now Hashem's presence is here, and he can only go in if he's called. So he can't go in. And then the Torah gives us a description, and whenever that cloud would lift up, that was the sign that it was time to travel. As long as the cloud was there, then the people knew there would be no travels today. We're staying here. When the cloud would lift up, that was the sign that it was time to go. Ki anan Hashem ala Mishkan yomam, because the cloud of Hashem would be on the Mishkan during the day. Ve'esh ti'alai lobo, and at night, it was in the form of a fiery pillar. Le'nei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem, and in front of all of the eyes, through all the journeys, that's how the process worked. And that concludes Sefer Shmos, basically with the completion and the cloud of Hashem, the presence of Hashem, filling the Mishkan. And the detail that the Torah gives us now that the presence of Hashem has filled the Mishkan, Moshe can't go in. Now, what's the very first words of the next pasuk?
Calls Moshe.
Which is really the next Sefer when we begin. You could flip your two pages. Vayikra el Moshe. And he calls to Moshe. What happens chronologically in between, if we were there actually filming this scene of Vayichal Moshe's Kol HaMelacha, that Moshe completed everything that needed to be done, and we were watching it play out, and as he completes it, the cloud appears, and the presence of Hashem fills the Mishkan, and what does Moshe do at that moment? He sort of shirks, he can't go, backs off, he can't be here anymore. And then Hashem calls him and says, I have what to teach you about Sefer Vayikra, about these sacrifices and the offerings and all the things. How much time would you guess elapsed, if you were just literally watching the scene, how much time elapsed between Hashem's presence filling the Mishkan and Vayikra el Moshe, and Hashem calling to Moshe to give him the next instruction?
4 minutes.
I don't know how long it goes. I have no idea. As far as what the Torah tells us, it tells us...
It was pretty spectacular.
Nothing. Right? There was this big scene. Now, the Torah fills us in on other details about this day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. But we have a Vayikrael Moshe. Reading, so chronologically, I really don't know how much time actually went by. As a reader of Chumash, it's immediate. It's right? In other words, Vayikrael Moshe, right? And he calls to Moshe. Now, we have a week in between, obviously, but if you're just reading the Chumash, we went from the end of Sefer Shmos, and Vayikrael Moshe, and he calls to Moshe. Here's the comment that Rav Hirsch makes. A really fascinating and brilliant comment, which stands on its own, and then we'll deal with it together with the first half of what we spoke about today. Says Rav Hirsch, Moshe has played a very specific role until this point. Now, he's not Bezalel or Aholiyav who's actually constructing the Mishkan, but he is the conduit through which we have all of the information about the Mishkan. Moshe, all of Parshas Truma, Tetzav, and Kitisa, the first three of our five Parshios, Hashem is speaking to Moshe. And then in Vayakil Pekudei, it's Moshe conveying to the people what needs to be done, telling them we need all of these goods and the materials and the gold and the silver and the copper, and teaching Bezalel and Aholiyav of what to do. Moshe is the man, so to speak. Now, Bezalel is the craftsman, he's the foreman, and his Aholiyav, together with the Chochmei Lev. But if you were to ask, where's Moshe in all this? Now, even though he physically doesn't have a role, and there's a Rashi that describes how Hashem gave him a certain honor at the very end to help direct the actual Mishkan. Correct. But just in terms of, as the scene is playing itself out over the weeks and months of the building of the Mishkan, Moshe is, as he's been throughout we left Mitzrayim, a very central, primary, prominent person, personality in this process. Like, as in all of Jewish life, he's the one who brought us the Torah, and specifically in the Mishkan. And now it's done. Now go back to that moment where the Torah actually uses Vayichal Moshe es hamilocha, the last verse, before that last paragraph, the end of Pasuk Lamed Gimel. After what we started with, we said, who built this Mishkan? It was Bezalel and Aholiyav. And yet the Torah says, Vayasu B'nai Yisrael did it. And then at the very, very, very end, Vayakam es hachatzer, when the last piece was actually put into place, Vayichal Moshe es hamelacha, and Moshe completed this task. And again, there's a Rashi that says that Hashem gave him the honor of the actual only one who could put it all into place. But we have, what I want to focus on is this, and would Moshe have had every right, or would even the people looking at him to say, Moshe, look at what you did. You got this done. You appointed the right people. You got Bezalel, and Aholiyav, and the Chochmei Lev, and Moshe could almost stand back and say,
I did it.
Says Rav Hirsch, at that moment of Vayichal Moshe es hamilocha, the presence of Hashem fills the tent, and the Torah says, V'lo yachol Moshe lavo. And Moshe shirks back, in Rav Hirsch's language, and becomes one of the people. He becomes just like everybody else. I have no more of a right to be here now that Hashem's presence has filled. I was in here 2 minutes ago placing the ark with the luchos and the kruvim. I was in here, the Torah said, placing it all in. But now that it's done, I am like all of you. One of you. I just want to read you his language because it's so beautiful. As soon as Moshe completed the work of erecting the actual Mishkan, he immediately retired in his relation towards it to the status of one of the rest of the nation. It was not his work, not his relationship to the Torah, not the luchos which were in it, but it was a Mishkan into the home of the glory of Hashem and a tent of meeting of Hashem with his entire people. And this is the visible expression of the relationship between Hashem and us. Not Moshe per se, but the entirety of the Jewish people. And it was the nation who by this sanctuary prepared a home for the Torah and an altar for their devotion. And it was the nation from whom Hashem allowed His glory to enter into the home. In that supreme moment of Hashem's relation to the Jewish people, even Moshe at first stepped back into the ranks of the people. And then, Vayikra El Moshe. Hashem calls him and says, Moshe, your job is not done. You now need to convey and teach more. But in that moment of Hashem's presence filling the Mishkan, the immediate reaction of Moshe is sort of a falling back into the Amcha, into the people. It was his humility, as Rav Hirsch expresses it. Part of the humility was, this isn't about me. This is about the Jewish people and creating a home in which Hashem will rest his presence amongst. Va'asu li mikdash, make for me a mikdash v'shochanti b'socham, and I will dwell amongst them. This is about me, the Jewish people. And in that moment, Moshe will always be lo kam kisol kemoshe. Moshe is unique. Moshe is different. And the next pasuk, Vayikra el Moshe. But for that one fleeting moment, as the clouds and Hashem's presence fill the Mishkan, so Moshe shirks back. And this idea of Rav Hirsch, to me, is so beautiful with the idea of the Or HaChaim, when the Torah described the Mishkan being Vayasu b'nei Yisrael. We all did it. Some gave money, some gave gold, some gave silver, some were craftsmen. But we, as a people, we did this. We are all responsible, because the Torah itself is a joint effort. There is no one person who can do it. We all need each other to do their roles, and through each other's success, we all succeed, and through each other's failures, we all fail. We're all in this together. We need each other. And what an awesome expression that Rav Hirsch finds that same idea in the very end, when the Torah says, Vayichal Moshe, and Moshe completed, and then he like falls back into the shadows, just amongst the people. I'm just one of you, because this is our home. This is our Mishkan. This is our place where we as a people will relate to Hashem and He can relate to us. And at this moment, it's just the Jewish people. It doesn't last long. Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem calls him. But for that moment, it's an expression of how this home, this Beis HaMikdash, this Mishkan, is the reflection of the heart and soul, literally, of the entirety of the Jewish people, and the lessons that we all need each other to be one family, one group, as a whole, fulfilling all of its laws. Very beautiful idea. As we complete Sefer Shmos and the building of the Mishkan and Hashem's presence filling the Mishkan, may we see soon in our day, once again, the presence of Hashem filling the rebuilt Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Have a great week.
Okay, so I just asked a question. I just for interest sake, because I don't really understand.